Hallelujah. Okay, so this morning we are carrying on with our series, We Are the Church. And we've already gone through, we are called to worship, called to family, called to discipleship. And last week, Paul took us through called to serve. And so this is, I'm doing the last of the five purposes that we believe the church are called to. And that is a call to share Jesus, a call to mission. And we're going to read just briefly from Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20, which is called the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the end of the age." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for its power. We thank you, Lord God, for it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that you would come in power. Have your way this morning, we pray, in your name. Amen. I wonder this morning if I asked you, what do you think when I say the word mission? Or what do you think when I say the word missionary? I wonder what comes to mind. Maybe it's someone like, it could be someone like Susanna with the mission work they're doing out there. It could be Stephen Katie. Out in Chad, or maybe it's Simon Gilbo from Burundi, who's been there for years and years. Maybe it's the missionaries of old, your David Livingston or your Hudson Taylors, people that have paved the way. But whenever I think of a missionary, I have a pre kind of already something in my mind because I've been on the field myself. And when I was a missionary, well, my parents were missionaries, there was a classic missionary look. And you had to have your socks up to, your white socks, may I say, up to here. You had to have your khakis and short shorts, which were probably way too revealing. And you had to have your short t-shirts. And you had to have your Jesus sandals, of course, because you got your white socks. And that was very much my dad. You can't see it in this photo, but that was us in Africa. We were the classic missionary family. And my mum thought it was extra cool to dress us in matching outfits that she found from the containers that people sent out as gifts to Africa. This is not the worst, trust me. There are some pictures I don't think I want to show you because you'd be scarred for life. But that is sometimes that's the kind of pictures that we see when we think of missionaries. And often as we reflect, we kind of think, oh, well, you know, it's those people, the chosen few, they're the odd bunch, the slightly kind of quirky people that just, you know, they stand out from the crowd, those missionaries. And I can say that because I've been one. But, you know, yeah, besides that, you know, we can see the Great Commission says, therefore, go and make disciples to all nations. So that surely doesn't apply to me. And then it says in Mark 16, verse 15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. Now, if you're here this morning, you're probably like, well, I'm not really called, potentially, you might be, I'm not saying you're not, but you might not be called to go into the far ends of the earth. And you might not even feel that you have a gifting for public speaking or preaching. So you might feel that the word mission excludes you. You might feel that actually it doesn't involve your life. But actually, I want to say that the word mission comes from the Latin word for sending. And we as Christians have been sent, and God is sending us all, each and every one of us. As soon as we become a Christian, we become a missionary. So you can start wearing your white socks and your sandals. It's okay. I know they're quite fashionable nowadays, but you can start taking on that mantle of being a missionary. Acts 1 verse 8 says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Jesus said, you will be my witnesses. He didn't say, I want you to notice, it wasn't a command, it was a fact. He said, actually, you will be. As the Holy Spirit comes upon you, as you give your life to Christ, you will be my witnesses. It's not an option. It's not even a command. It's just a fact that we, each and every one of us, are to be his witnesses. Jesus didn't say, well, I want you, you know, if you want, you can be my witnesses. Or, you know, it's okay if you don't have it because I've got plan B. You know, the crazy thing is that God's plan A, B, C, and D is each and every one of us. There is no plan B. We are it. We are the hope for the world to spread the good news that we've been given. And as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, it says, "For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died." And later on in verse 20, it says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us." We are Christ's ambassadors. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. Being an ambassador, the word pastor isn't really that cool. I would rather go around places and call myself an ambassador. That might open up a few more doors. And I actually think that if you're feeling a bit down about yourself, you can just remember that God has called you your ambassador. If your CV is looking a bit blank, just write on there that you're an ambassador. I'm sure you can explain. It won't be lying, because it's the truth. You are an ambassador for Christ. If you want any HR help, don't ask Tracy Ross. I'm happy to help out, spice up your CV. But you know, we are actually ambassadors. We are called to be Christ's representatives, to be Christ's witnesses in all the earth. From the very beginning of time to the very end of our life here on earth, we are called to be his representatives. So what is the need for mission today? Because surely we've seen missionaries go through time and there's not really a great need anymore. Well, I was quite shocked when my wife showed me some stats. She attended a course by WEC called Momentum Yes, which is a mission course. And they referred to a global mission stats, which is called joshuaproject.net. And I was very shocked by these stats. Currently in the world today, there are 17,470 people groups. In that unreached people groups, there are over 7,000 unreached people groups. That is 42.6% of people have been unreached with the gospel of Christ. Out of a population of 7.7, over 3.2 billion people have had absolutely no reach with the gospel. But the thing that shocked me most is that in a Christian country, over 33 people groups have not been met with the gospel of Jesus Christ. 33, that is a total of 29.2% of the UK's population have not been met with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are an unreached people group. Staggering facts, staggering. You can go check out the website, but it's that kind of fact that blows me in. To put that in perspective, Congo, which is 19 times the size of the UK, only have 4 unreached people groups. To put it in perspective, we are second in the whole of Europe for the most unreached people groups. The first is France. They have the most unreached, and then we are second. The need in the UK is massive. So where do we start? I've kind of bummed you all out. You're like, oh, wow, that's really not cool. I'm not trying to bum you out. I'm trying to say, actually, there is a need for each and every one of us. Each and every one of us have a part to play in this whole chapter of our lives. But we can get overwhelmed. But I love that Jesus always has the roadmap set out. You know, Boris has the roadmap to let down the lockdown. But actually, Jesus gave us the roadmap on how to do mission. He said in Acts 1 verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Jesus was mapping it out. First and foremost, he was telling his disciples and he was telling us, first and foremost, you must meet Jerusalem. You must meet your place where you are at. Your hometown, your place of living, your community. You must first reach into those around you. Then you meet to Judea, which is the country that you're in. So that is the rest of the UK with the unreached population. Then you go to Samaria, which is other cultures, and then to the ends of the earth, which is other nations. We are Christ's ambassadors. Here, right where we are, right here, right now. You are Christ's ambassadors to the world today. And I wonder, you know, last year we did a course called Fruitfulness on the Frontline, and it was asking us that question, what is your frontline? Where do you encounter those opportunities to share Jesus? You might not feel that you're gifted, you might not feel that you've been given all the words to say, but you don't even have to be a salesman like Will. He might try and sell you a computer or an iPad, but you don't need to be a salesman. Jesus says you just have to be my witnesses. You just have to share all that's going on. So how do we share Jesus? Well, first and foremost, it says, in verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So we are called to share Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but that fills me with joy that it's not on us. There's no responsibility on you or me. There's actually entire responsibility on God and his power through us to be able to reach other people. It doesn't matter if you've had the best biblical teaching, if you've had the best evangelism class, or you've attended the most challenging course on evangelism. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, then you are powerless to be able to do anything. And I love that word power. If you look at the word power, it comes from the Greek word dunamis. Just sounds cool, dunamis. Like dunamis, I think this is one of those words. It's like just a really cool word. And it actually comes and it creates from the English word, it creates words like dynamite, dynamo, and dynamic. Strong's Concordance says dunamis is the power to achieve by applying the Lord's inherent abilities. Power through God's ability. Wow. Power through God's ability. Each and every one of us, when we give our lives to Christ, we have power through God's ability. A dynamic, a dynamite, a miraculous power of the Holy Spirit on each and every one of us. And that dunamis power today is in each and every one of us today. And it's at work in our lives. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power, his dunamis power, his dynamite power, his marvelous, majestic power that is at work within us. Because the moment that we start working within our own strength, that's when things don't happen. That's when doors don't open, and that's when we aren't able to do what we are called to do. Zechariah 4 says, not by might, but or not by power, but by the Spirit, says the Lord. It's by the Spirit, by the power of the Spirit, that we're able to do exceedingly abundantly above by the power of the Lord God Almighty. I wonder how often we are using that power to its full capacity. I was thinking this week, and you know, I was thinking about my car, and I was imagining if my car had, and it's a great car, the Honda Civic 2011, just a great model. If you don't have a good car, I recommend it. It doesn't get very many, doesn't need much repair. But if my car had a Lamborghini Aventador engine inside it, I wonder how much power that would give me. Well, I would be able to drive 229 miles per hour. I would have 1,600 horsepower, and I would be able to go to 0 to 60 in 2.1 seconds. Imagine my Honda Civic doing that. That'd be amazing. That would be awesome. But that's kind of what it's like, isn't it? Is that we have this dynamite power. We have this dynamic power within us, this dunamis power, this explosive power, but we're not ready to use it to its full capacity. It's like having that engine and driving it at 20 miles an hour like an old granny. And saying, actually, this is a safe speed. Sorry, I shouldn't say old granny. My granny got speeding tickets. So anyway, but yeah, it's like that though, isn't it? It's like not using the full capacity of your car. If I had a Lamborghini, I'd want to go to Germany and go on the Autobahn and boom, like rip it up. But that's sometimes what it's like with our lives, is we have this power, this dynamic authority that's been given to us, but we just don't tap into it. We're not using it to its full capacity. You know, last week we had an opportunity to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and I know people had to go, but why not come forward and be filled again? Each and every day we must drink full of the Holy Spirit. We are unable to do anything without his empowering. We are unable to do it. And so when there's an opportunity, come. Even if we have the whole place is filled with people, we need to pray for people. Come. The Holy Spirit power is so dynamic. It's so powerful. It's so uncontainable. And it is the message to the world today. Henry Blackberry said, "Will God ever ask you to do something that you are not able to do?" The answer is yes. Hallelujah. All the time. That's really encouraging. It must be that way for God's glory and kingdom. If we are functioning according to our ability alone, we get the glory. But if we function according to the power of the Spirit within us, God gets the glory. He wants to reveal himself to a watching world. The world today are watching the power that is within you. The world today are watching the way that you are led and guided by the Holy Spirit's authority and anointing. Why not come forward and be refilled? Why not drink of him again? So first, if we need to share Jesus, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, Secondly, if we want to share Jesus, it is by our personal testimony. Romans 11:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile." In order for people to hear and to come to know Jesus, in order for us to reach those unreached groups, they need to hear the word of God. They need us to be God's mouthpiece. Romans 10 verse 17 says, "Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God." How can they hear if we are silent? How can they hear if we hold our testimonies to ourselves? Because actually your testimony may be the key to unlock someone's life, may be the key to change someone's situation, because you may have gone through something that will help them realize that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and will sustain through every circumstance and situation. You don't need to be eloquent. You don't need to have all the answers. Trust me, if I had all the answers, it'd be awesome, but we don't. No one has all the answers, but we have a power within us. But your testimony is so important. It's powerful. And I want to encourage you today. Sometimes we belittle our testimonies. Some people that have maybe grown up in church who say, "Well, I've been a Christian all my life." Hallelujah. The best testimony you can have is that God has kept you faithfully from day one up to now. His faithfulness has kept you. Your testimony is an example of God's grace and love to the world. 1 Peter 3 verse 15 says, "But in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have." Always be prepared. I wonder if we're always prepared. I remember Bible College, in our cell group, home group, whatever you want to call it, we did this activity where we gave each other 3 minutes. And you had to pretend like you were engaging with someone for the first time. And you only had 3 minutes to do it. And you had to share your testimony in 3 minutes because you would never see them again. And that might be the only opportunity that they get to hear the gospel of Jesus. When we started, we were like, so Jesus came and I was bad. It was one of those really awkward, horrible things. Everyone was laughing and we were just like, man, we suck. If God relied on me to share the gospel, I would be a nightmare. But that's the truth, isn't it? We're not often prepared for those instant moments where the dynamic Holy Spirit says, share your testimony. But God, I don't know what to say. And yes, God gives you the things to say, but actually, we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared and ready. We need to be active and responsible, ready to give that testimony. And probably, unlike me, you shouldn't be babbling and guessing and blah, 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 blah. You need to be quick and ready to give an answer. Rick Warren had this in The Purpose-Driven Life. He said, I want to give you some homework. I want you to go home and try and have that three-minute task. And include these 4 points: what my life was like before I met Jesus, how I realized I need Jesus, how I committed my life to Jesus, and the difference Jesus made to my life since that day. If you can do that in 3 minutes, then you will make a difference to someone's life. But if we don't share it, who will? If we're not ready, who will? Because your testimony, no one else can share. Your testimony is your testimony. Whether you like it or not, God gave you that testimony, and that testimony has power and authority. You know, I'm always getting at my mum. My mum has so many stories and limericks and songs, and she's like a fount of knowledge, one of those like people that just spits out all this stuff. And she's always telling me stories of days of old, of all that God had done. And I'm like, mum, just write it down. Like, no one's going to know your story, because when you die, it's going to die with you. Sad to say, but true. So my dad, in all his strength and might, he bought my mum an iPad. Didn't help. He bought my mum the dictation software. Didn't help. He bought my mum a pad and paper. Didn't help. And unfortunately, she's still struggling, but she has finally written the first 2 chapters of her book. Why? Because her testimony can transform lives. And I believe today that each and every one of you, your testimony can transform lives. Never belittle what God has given you. Never belittle the power and the authority of God within you. One very amazing testimony: I was blind, but now I see. However simple, your testimony is powerful. Demi Lovato said, share your story with someone. You never know how one sentence of your life story could inspire someone to rewrite their own. So first and foremost, we share by the power of the Spirit. We share by our personal testimony. And lastly, by our purposeful lifestyle. 1 Peter 2 verse 12 says, live such good lives among the pagans. The word pagans there in the NLT says your unbelieving neighbors, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. We all know that saying. Actions speak louder than... Yeah, there we go. I feel like I'm a preschool teacher, sorry. But we all know that saying, but there's so much truth in it, isn't it? It's one of those things. Matthew 7 verse 16, they will know you by your fruit. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, this Buckskin estate will know you by your fruit. By your good deeds and by your acts of love. The way we live our lives, the way we use our time, the way we serve and commit to church, the way we give generously, the way we walk in the power, in the dunamis power and authority of the Holy Spirit, is the way that it will have an impact to other people. Rick Warren said, if they like what they see, they will listen to what you say. If they like what they see, they will listen to what you say. 1 Thessalonians 1 says, the word has gotten out. Your lives are echoing the master's word, not only in the provinces, but all over the place. The news of your faith in God is out. You don't even have to say anything anymore. You're the message. How cool is that? We are the message. Wherever you are today, whatever place God puts you, you might be the only Bible that someone ever gets to read. You might be the only Jesus that someone ever gets to see. You might be the only opportunity for them to know you and know the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherever we are, we are God's representatives. Paul said, "But my life is worth nothing to me unless I use it for finishing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus, the work of telling others the good news about his wonderful grace of God." As the worship team come up, I'm going to finish up. And I wonder this morning, do we live as ambassadors of Christ? Do we live at the full potential, the 1,600 horsepower of the Holy Spirit, the dunamis dynamic power of the Holy Spirit in our lives today? C.T. Studd said, "Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will truly last. I wonder that if that resonates with each and every one of us. That poem is incredible. I'm not going to read it, but I want to end on one story. And this is a personal, not personal testimony to me, but a testimony from Rick Warren, and you may have already heard it. But he was at the deathbed of his father, and his father had lived a great life. His father had lived a life of service and actually had planted 150 churches across the world. But on his deathbed, his father was becoming restless. And he was becoming kind of agitated, and they didn't know why. And it was getting quite annoying just as he was trying to get up, and he wasn't able to because he was really at the end of his life. And so Kay, Rick's wife, said to the father-in-law, "What are you doing? Just stay still. Jimmy, you can't get up. You're dying. You need to just relax. Just be still." And Jimmy, the father, said, "I've got to save one more for Jesus. I've got to save one more for Jesus. I've got to save one more for Jesus." And he kept on saying that. And for about an hour, Rick says that he's probably said it about 100 times. "I've got to save one more for Jesus." And as Rick bows his head in just a sense of awe, he bows his head. He feels the frail hand of his father rest upon his head in an act of commissioning. And his father says to him, "Reach one more for Jesus. Reach one more for Jesus." And then he dies and goes to glory. I wonder if that's our testimony today. May we be a people that live and breathe to reach one more for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we come before you humbled. Lord, we carry the most important and the most powerful and the only truth in the world, the truth that never fails and never breaks, the truth that can set the captives free, can give sight to the blind, that can raise the dead. We carry the name of Jesus and the dunamis power of the Holy Spirit. Father, help us reach one more for Jesus. Let's stand and worship him today.